of paramount importance in the understanding of Buddha Dharma is the doctrine of interdependent co-arising of all phenomena. It can remove our afflictions and wipe out our attachments, allowing us to let go of the ego and stop clinging onto things. Having been awakened to the principle behind phenomenal existence, what is there to cling to? Our attachments come from the desire to be in control of things, to be free to do whatever we want. That every volition is self-oriented is clearly manifested as the norm in our daily life. Now that the principle of interdependent co-arising is understood, we realize how stupid it is to forever expect things to go the way we want. The notion of self is the root of all afflictions and the source of life and death. In fact, it is the origin of all problems. It unleashes all kinds of struggles and conflicts. Now that the Buddha had exposed it for us, we have to practice on how to accord with conditions in our cultivation. Knowing that present credits are issued from past karma, we must also remember that they would pass away when the relevant conditions dissipate. Maintaining an even mind without being blown away by the good times is a subtle way of according with conditions. The practice on how to react to grievances suffered is directed at bad times. The practice on how to accord with conditions is aimed at the good times. People tend to be carried away by fame and fortune, but one's willpower is more often strengthened by adversities. One would easily forget the challenges encountered along the way after success has been attained. We must remember that all things arise out of causes and conditions. All things cease out of causes and conditions. Without being over the top during the good times, we can maintain equanimity and steadily move ahead to nurture wholesome causes and conditions for further development. Do not be influenced by the eight winds of joy, anger, sorrow, happiness, gain, loss, defamation, and reputation. When you manage to remain unmoved by these eight blowing winds, your practice would be in consonance with the way and in accordance with the conditions. 3. The practice on how not to seek, constantly deluded, people are wrought with cravings, and this is known as seeking. the wise have perceived the truth. Hence they chose to live in a way that is contrary to that of the mundane. Settling peacefully in quiescence, the wise would follow the change of conditions as they arise. They realize that all things in existence are in essence empty. Hence, they have nothing to wish for. Merits accrued are not known, yet they follow you wherever you go. Living in the three realms of existence is like residing in a house on fire. Is there any comfort to be found as long as you exist within a physical body? Once this is fully understood, you would willingly forgo everything you possess. And that is when you cease to stir your thoughts for the sake of seeking. It says in the sutra, there is suffering where there is seeking, and there is happiness where there is no seeking. It is when you know not to seek that you are on the way of cultivation. And this is the practice on how not to seek. The third practice is on how not to seek. Be it suffering, happiness, or neither, just accord with the conditions and do not seek. To seek is to constantly aim at coveting due to delusion. People of this world do not realize that everything arises out of causes and conditions. They are mired in the darkness of delusion, as if wandering in the long dark night without any glimpse of light, unable to find their way home. As such, they crave for a lot of things, sometimes scheming at their best to covet, and at other times trying their utmost to forsake. One way or the other, this is seeking. And where there is seeking, there is suffering. There is happiness only when one is contented. As worldlings lack wisdom, they are unable to stop seeking. Having understood the principle of interdependent co-arising, hence realization of no self, those of true wisdom would be able to turn away from the mundane. Their volition and thought, speech and action should henceforth be at odds with those of a worldling. In what way? When people are inclined to covet and seek, those with wisdom would accord with conditions and be contented with whatever came their way. They would not be attached to their objectives, but instead accord with changing conditions maintaining a calm and restful mind. Knowing that all things are empty, there is bliss in not seeking. Instead of targeting something all the time, it is better to solidly work to create becoming conditions, for nothing could arise without the synergy of conditions. Wholesome causes and becoming conditions are created through the cultivation of merits and blessings. Continue with such cultivation, and unwholesome conditions will be banished. When becoming conditions ripen, the onset of karmic retribution for unwholesome causes would be deferred. On the other hand, if wholesome causes and conditions are not being cultivated, retribution on account of unwholesome causes would set in early. This is a law that is not subject to man's liking. To not seek does not mean that we do nothing. Instead, we must actively create favorable conditions for good results to come through. Here, to seek means to expect harvest when none has not cultivated, or to have worked very little in the hope of getting a lot in return. To not seek is to keep on cultivating without aiming to profit. A practitioner who is able to not seek is very close to the way, if not already there. A deluded mind will manifest as attachment and craving the related thoughts and actions of which would yield corresponding retributions. Karma and retributions are actually manifested in the social conditions and natural environment, as well as the individual's physical and mental disposition. A person's state of being is telling of that person's wholesome and unwholesome karma. As stated in the Nirvana Sutra, merits and darkness always follow one another. Merits are actually wholesome karma brought about by good conduct and behavior. Darkness denotes unwholesome karma that issues from evil thoughts and deeds that would entail the retribution of suffering. These two kinds of karma are always following close behind us. Attachment to the ego, toiling for the sake of the self without realizing the principle of no self, and hence the inability to stop seeking, would render us being trapped within the three realms of existence. Be it the celestial, human, or three unwholesome paths, our continued existence within the six paths of transmigration would mean our having to endure endless afflictions. And why do we have to undergo all kinds of suffering? Having a body would entail suffering. Our notion of a self and our attachment to seeking satisfaction for the sake of the self are at the heart of the problem. When one is attached to the notion of a self, one would consider the body to be one's own. We ordinary human beings have physical bodies. Celestials in the formless realm have only spiritual bodies. Be it spiritual or physical, the body's source of existence is attachment. And having a body would necessarily mean being able to sense or feel happiness and suffering. The body is therefore like a hub for all kinds of karma and retribution to gather. Having realized that I am the source of all good and evil, and that all forms of self-oriented seeking would invite suffering, we should know that any kind of craving burning within us must be extinguished before the state of no seeking could be reached. In short, when there is seeking, there is suffering. When there is no seeking, there is happiness. We can now clearly say that only in the absence of seeking could a practitioner truly cultivate the way. In other words, whether you are doing good or evil, as long as there is seeking within you, you are not cultivating the way, but only creating karma for living and dying. It is therefore crucial that the practitioner must forsake seeking in their practice.